This podcast has range. And for those who says that it doesn't, you're lying. Look at us now, because guess what I'm about to do? Whip out a scary story.
You're getting all three for one today,
you
baby.
You never know.
Love, relationship, heartbreak, farts, and the spooks. You... Where else can you go on YouTube.com and get all of those within the same hour list and let me know?
You didn't know me in my single era. You didn't know me with my ex-boyfriends. I have been through the effing ringer, you guys. I learned all of this through trial by fire. I have been through the effing flames and have walked out the other side.
You know what's funny is I never saw you in your single Dallas era.
Thank God.
Hey, summer campers.
Hi, campers.
It is officially summer camp now.
Summer camp is in session. I hope everyone likes their bunk assignments. You cannot change them. And if you have any complaints, you can bring it all the way up to the top and you can only share them around the campfire.
Take it up with HR. Guess who HR is?
It's my favorite bit that Morgan does. She goes, I was like, Morgan, I think we should use the mic stands. And she goes, take it up with HR, Blondie. We're not using the mic stands.
No, the mechanical mic stands were so ugly and distracting. They just took away from our beautiful hats.
Oh, yes. I never want to go back. I love it here.
I do too. Update for the camp session. Around yes. The campfire, grab your s'mores, grab your hat, grab your buddy. We have moved the tent. And you might be thinking that we've advanced ourselves a little bit and we've moved our tent outside. That would be incorrect. We have moved our tent to my very spooky, unfinished, slightly terrifying and full of cat piss basement.
We're glamping, people. We are glamping. We are in the great indoors, as Morgan would say. And you would not believe this speed in which we put this thing up.
Oh, less than 20 minutes. We're going to advance, you guys.
We didn't have to look at a diagram. We didn't have to consult the internet. We didn't have to call either of our dads. We did this
all on
our own. So efficiently, it was almost scary.
And better yet, we have chairs. We are in the very dark basement. However, we can leave the tent set up. And if anyone in my life has a problem with that, they can take it up with HR, number one. Number two, we now have chairs. So my booty, when I stand up from this tent, won't have imprinted red marks for the next 5 days.
The fact that the longest episode we've ever filmed was as we were sitting on the hardwood floor in this tent.
No cushion.
No cushion.
No protection.
Nothing but a...
We raw dogged the floor in the tent.
Nothing but the vibes getting us through is one of the funniest things we ever... Our longest episode by a long shot, by the way.
I told Brooke today, I said, we could hypothetically take it to a real campground and go camping. And she's like, yeah, we don't even have to stay the night. Nobody would know if we didn't stay the night. And I said, oh, they know me. They would know I didn't stay the night.
My friend needs access to a bathroom within like a 30 second radius of her at all times because she pees. She pees a lot.
I'm having a cooter crisis right now as we established. Sorry, TMI. Not a cooter crisis.
My
underwear are too big for my booty cheeks. I stretched them out and now I have been having a wedgie all day, but we're going to move on. Last night, we might have had Dairy Queen for the third night in a row. And Brooke looked at me dead in the face and said, what are you trying to do to me? Make me a diarrhea diva? And then I said, OMG, we could call this the Diarrhea Diva Diaries.
We did. There was something in the air last night. We were watching Love Island. We were eating Dairy Queen.
Third night in a row, by the way.
There was just something in the air that was like giggle fest times 100. Everything was funny. We went to the zoo yesterday. We were at high altitude. Something happened where everything that was coming out of our mouths was arguably the funniest thing that's ever happened. And this does happen to us from time to time. We get the giggles. And we're mid-giggle session and we hear a knock on the door. Morgan goes, our ice cream's here. I went, our what? Our what? I said, we just decided we were going to get hot so we can go in the villa. What do you mean our ice cream's here?
Oh, and we've had enchiladas for the past 3 days, Dairy Queen for the past 3 days. I started my womanly journey, if you know what I mean, today. And I came downstairs and I said, it's no wonder that for the past 3 days, all I've wanted is hot dogs, cheese, and Dairy Queen.
I touched down in Denver. She goes, man, I got to get me some cheese. I'm craving some cheese. I went, all right, And who am I to stop you?
Dairy hates to see me coming. I am the dairy queen in all words.
We were talking about how that should be a drag queen name, and that if Chris was to be a drag queen, his drag queen name should be Dairy Queen. Thoughts?
I cannot believe that. You know what? We're probably just uninformed. Somebody had to have picked that up by now.
Or Burger Queen.
Burger Queen!
Like, it's writing itself. Now, forgive me. I'm behind on the RuPaul's Drag Race of it all, but...
I am too.
But... yeah, that is that. Morgan said that so casually. I went, hold on, marketing genius, because that's a good one. I like that one a lot.
I wish I could come up with a good idea for myself. Something better than Diarrhea Diva.
Yeah, that's that. We're gonna put that on the shelf. Also, if you can hear my hat jingle jangling again, apologies, but
we have real bait.
I'm expression. I'm the expression girl.
You have three charms. I only have one.
Yeah, I have the too much gene. I had the too much gene. I put a lot of suckers on this hat last time.
Well, I went on our Instagram this morning, posted a lovely photo of Brooke feeding a giraffe where she looks scared to death. And I asked people for questions because it's been a while since we've done a catch-up tell-all.
We haven't given y'all the mic in a while. And we figured it's about time you guys got to contribute and ask us what you want to know. Because we don't talk about ourselves ever on this podcast. We're so secretive. It's we don't so share anything. We're hard. Very private. We honestly don't talk about ourselves enough on this podcast. So we figured we might as well give you the opportunity to ask us your burning questions. And that you did.
God, it is so hard to be such a private and mysterious, secretive person. I that is something I excel in, as we know. My coochie crisis continues. Oh my God. I'm going to have to start sharing more because the people just know nothing about me.
We're really mysterious to you guys, so we figured it's time to lift the veil, if you will.
You know, do you want to start hot and heavy, or do you want to start with something light and
easy? Can we start light and easy, because I'm not caffeinated enough yet?
Okay.
these are all surprise to me.
All right, you want to start off with an easy one?
Yeah.
Your wish is my demand. This is from Angelina. What is something you would have never thought you would grow out of? P.S. Love the pod. Thanks.
Something that we thought we would grow out of, but didn't?
No, something that we thought that we would never grow out of. And then once you hit that frontal lobe development, then you're like, oh, wait a second.
So I actually have an answer to this.
Okay. You have a Q, we have an A.
They used to say all the time, like, it's just a phase. You're going to grow out of certain things. And I used to be like, I have so many niche interests. This is like middle school, elementary school. Like, I was one of those children that I've always had niche interests. I've always gone down rabbit holes. I've always had like special interests, if you will. And I go all in on them. And then I forget about them. And I pick it back up, drop it again. One that comes to mind specifically is my One Direction phase. When I was in my One Direction phase, you guys, it was not chill. There was nothing chill about it. I was the kind of fan, like when I was 13, or not even 12, where I added a contact to my phone for all the guys of One Direction, and I put their birthdays in. I put like where they were born.
Did
like,
you make it, a fake phone number?
There was no phone number. I was right.
It was just the contact card.
So that when their birthdays came up, it was in my calendar. Like, I was not relaxed at all. The nicest thing my mom ever did is I came home from school one day and she had gotten life-sized cutouts and put them on my walls. Best day of my life. So there was nothing relaxed about it. And everyone used to be like, Brooke, you're gonna grow out of this. It's just a phase. This is not gonna be forever. And I would look at them and be like, there is just no way. There is just no way that this feeling is going to leave my body.
No, One Direction was a lifestyle for you.
I am so in it.
It like, was in your blood.
Oh, I had my One Direction Instagram account. I had the fan fiction. Like, I was in. And then Zayn left One Direction and it was as if the lights went out. And I was like, my frontal lobe was starting to develop. I was like 18 and I was like, or I was 17 when he left. And I was like, okay, like I'm putting this on hold.
Was it devastating for the One Directioners when he left?
You have no idea.
I was a Joe Bro girl.
So I'll tell you why it was devastating. It was in the middle of their tour. Mm. So he left mid-tour and it was supposed to be, it was the beginning of the end. He left mid-tour kind of out of nowhere. And then they released an album without him. And then they never toured that last album. They went on a hiatus right after it came out. But all to say I didn't think I would ever pick that phase up again. And that was something I never thought I would grow out of, but then I did. But then 2020 hit, and it was the 10-year anniversary, or it was either 2020 or 2021, I forget. But that was when the, I think it was 2020, was when, oh yeah, it was. The 10-year anniversary of One Direction happened.
And I,
and it was as if the lights turned back on and I was fully in my One Direction era again. And that started to happen with all of my niche interests. I was like a huge animal girl growing up. And like when I was in my 20s, all of my niche interests when I was a child, they came back. Oh. So
they were always there. Maybe they just, it wasn't their time to shine.
Yeah.
What comes to my mind immediately is like something that people, like my mom would look at me and say, you're going to grow out of that. I can think of three off the top of my head. Crop tops, ripped jeans, and my platform Doc Martens.
Holy hell.
Nobody could have convinced me. Yeah. I remember going to see my great uncle or something. And every man, okay, riddle me this. Chat, rise up. I think that it is a canon experience. Every single girl went to a family event with their ripped jeans, with their kneecaps out, the scrapes on the kneecaps out because we had nothing to protect our kneecaps. You went to an extended family member's house and the dad said, did you get a discount on those jeans?
Or
has that not happened to everybody?
Or I could have put those holes in your jeans for free.
Yes, yes.
You didn't have to buy them like that. I could have put the holes in
myself. I could have cut them with my wrenches and my scissors and my pliers. I never thought that I would get over it. And now, a couple months ago when I was doing my jean try on, I tried on my last standing pair of ripped jeans and I was thinking, OMG, it is so invasive for people to be able to see my kneecaps in flying around in the wind. I don't want you to see my kneecaps and I don't want you to see my belly button. I have no interest in any of it.
I feel the same way. I used to wear like the super, super ultra, ultra high waisted.
Oh, and like I up used, to the bra line.
I used to never think in a million years that I would ever retire that look.
Same.
And over the last couple years, the jeans have been getting a little lower and now they're like about a mid-rise and I never thought I'd see the day. But now I'm like, ooh, like how did we, I never thought that the high waisted would ever go out either.
Yeah, like the high-waisted, we're talking above the belly button exclusively. You know what else? And if it was even like just a tad above the belly button, it wasn't high enough.
I never thought we'd get over 2016 makeup either. Oh. I thought that that was the pinnacle of makeup with like the dip brow and like the smoky the black eye. Brow. Yeah, I thought that that was pinnacle of makeup. And I thought, wow, we have hit the crescendo. We have finally arrived at the pinnacle of what makeup could be. And now I look at what we do today and I'm like,
we could have blended a little more. Ooh. The contour didn't have to be so sharp.
The cat eye did not need to go to my earlobe. It didn't.
And mine still does. I still dabble. Sometimes I think I look a little 2016. I did drop the block eyebrows though.
Uh-huh. I just do the eyebrow gel now.
And, same.
But once you realize you can dye your eyebrows, the world is your oyster.
Oh, that is the game changer of it all. Because I was always filling them in because I didn't have enough pigment. And now you go to Target, you get your Just for Men's and you go on about your day. It's $9 and it'll last you a whole season.
Or you could be like me and find a Russian lady who will give you it.
Well, that's a little harder to do. Question number two.
That was a good question.
Can men actually change? I would say 100% yes. Anybody has the capacity to change. And I think putting a gender on specific if people have the ability to change is just rude. I think anybody can change if they have the desire to change. It's just up to that person if they have the will and the want and the why to change. Because I know a lot of ladies in my life that also could have done some changing and just chose not to.
I think in the context, if we're asking like, can men change in the context and through the lens of relationships? I think, yes, you can change and grow as a person with like very intensive work. I don't think change can happen overnight. I think change, you first have to have the ability to self-reflect and take ownership in order for things to change. And that I think for men with egos, which I think like just naturally the way that our world is, I think men do suffer sometimes from ego in the way that prevents them from self-reflection to the extent that is needed for proper change. So I think that it can be harder for them to change. The one element, and I'm curious your take on this, I personally identify in the category of once a cheater, always a cheater.
I would agree with that.
I do believe that if the man you are in question has a tendency to cheat, I think that they have a value deficit or like an ethics deficit that I do not know once removed can be put back in place. Because once you go there, I don't know if you could put that back in the box. I personally believe yes. that because any cheater I know has always been a repeat offender. Always.
I would agree with that. But I would say the two women in my life that I've known personally that have cheated did continue to cheat.
Yes.
Which makes me think it's not gender specific. It's a lack of loyalty specific.
Yeah, it's like our humans. You can even say like our humans more like capable of change.
Yeah. I don't think it's gender specific. I think people are kooky. And if you can't realize you're kooky, you're never going to know you have to change. But I think there's a lot of kooky men and a lot of kooky women. But and all of us, even if we think that we're in a healthy mental space, we all have some things that we could work on or could change, you know?
I do think, though, as a society, we put so much emphasis on women changing from such a young age. Like, change this about your appearance. Change this about your personality because you're too much. Change this about the way that you're behaving. Or did it, like, you need to be quiet in the classroom. The boys are the ones that get to be rowdy. You have to sit still and be and, like, listen. Like, the girls are the listener. The boys are the actors. Like, I do think the way that we are socially, like, there is a lot of unspoken pressure on women to change, which I do think lends itself to women being more predispositioned to change, whereas men are more, there's more runway for them to, like, perpetuate. Maybe boys will be boys. Boys are just that way. Like, he is who he is. Like, I think that there is something to be said about how the way that we are the way that we grow up is that there really isn't that pressure for guys to change. So I think it's a muscle that men specifically need to work a little harder to flex because it doesn't come as naturally. At least that's what I've observed.
No, I would agree with that. Love Island, not to bring it back up again. Oh, I think it changes. It always gives me a good perspective because a lot of the times, like, because I don't have a ton of male friends.
Yeah, me neither.
So half the time, not to pick a gender or a side, but half the time we're only listening to the female side.
Yeah.
And on a show like Love Island, you can see the reality of the situation that happened and how the girl portrays what in her perspective happens versus how the guy portrays in his perspective what happened. And I think it's I'm not gonna say it's a learning experience because putting Love Island in the category of education just wouldn't be right, but I think it's enlightening to see sometimes how women will gas up other women when they are in the wrong just for the sake of being like a girl's girl or taking the girl's side, or like men are always wrong, because there are a lot of times that the men didn't do anything. Us females sometimes have a big overreaction. And then when we go to our friends, we have an even bigger exaggeration on what the situation
women
was.
Women are pack animals for sure.
We are pack animals. And I think sometimes it changes my thinking a little bit when I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm really only getting the female perspective in my real life. And we don't really know what happened from the men's perspective. Because sometimes the men are doing like what they think is right and what they think is good. And then they're portrayed as like, they're just acting like a man, or they're just like sick and gross and they're into all these women, when that's not always, like, I sometimes think we can exaggerate the reality of a situation. And a show like Love Island makes you think, oh my God, even when women are beautiful and smart and stunning, we can still go a little cuckoo from time to time and really misread a situation.
That's why, like, I really try and be the kind of friend who will hold my friends accountable, because I do think that women sometimes have a tendency to just take the girl's side because it's another girl. And I think that we're doing our friends a disservice when we can't call them out and be like, yo, you shouldn't have cheated on your man. Like, I cannot tell you, there was a girl like a, it was, this was such a blip of time, but there was a little kind of like quad girl group that I was a part of for like, when I tell you it was less than a month, and like the four of us would hang out a bunch. And there was this girl who just, she was just kind of toxic. Like just one of those girls that like was a self-proclaimed man eater and like really loved causing harm to men. Like it just really, and I'm sure it came from a lot of hurt, and like you can go on and on justifying the behavior from like an empathetic standpoint. But I remember we were hanging out with like this like coinciding group of guy friends that like kind of, it was like this big group. And this guy like had such a thing for her, and they were kind of seeing each other, and she went out of her, like her way, and like really did him dirty. Like cheated on him, made a fool of him in front of like the, his guy friends, like, and did it maliciously, like did it with malicious intent. Like he literally did nothing. We saw the whole thing start to finish. And I remember the other girls in this little quad were like gassing her up and like putting her on this pedestal and being like, serves him right.
Eat
like,
him up.
Like F men, like da 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 da. And I just remember being like, I think I said out loud, like, oh, like, I don't really think he deserved that.
Yeah.
And then I was ousted.
You will burn on the stakes. Get her out of the group.
She straight up called me a S-L-U-T shamer. And I was like,
oh,
bro, that's not what I was saying. I just think that was a mean thing to do. Like, we don't have to be mean. Like do you? But like, bro, did he really deserve? Does anyone deserve that? Like, I don't know. But I learned, I'm like, well, you have to be careful when you're holding people accountable, because a lot of people, women especially, they don't want to be held accountable. I should say women, especially men.
People in general.
Yeah.
Not to get in the weeds, because now we're getting past the question, and now we're on more of like a, on a different tangent. I learned so much from one of my biggest regrets in my life, which I've talked about many times on this podcast specifically, but one of, I think, perhaps the most unfair things that I ever did was post like a breakup video. No, because I think if you're like a couple that's online, and this is why I always say like, I don't think I'll do a public relationship again, because when, okay, like I'm a girl, if I go online and I say I broke up with this guy, everybody without having any context to what it was like for him is going to be like supportive and like flooding you, which is so nice and so kind with like, you deserve better and la, 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 la. Like, I think it's really easy to look at a girl and be like, we don't even have to know what happened to be on your side. And I think that was kind of like a sociology learning lesson for me of like, we really never get to see both sides. We get to see the side that is louder. And that's kind of like the same thing with Love Island, is like the women are just being a little bit louder. So oftentimes that their story gets portrayed more, or like women in media when they go through divorces, like they're Kelsey Ballerini, for example, like when she did a whole breakup, like guy posts one song, she goes and does a whole album. We hear her side of the story more because it's a little louder. But is it always fair to do that to another person, to like get a bandwagon of people on your side just because you're the girl and like, we're women and we deserve the best and la 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 la, without acknowledging like, we actually don't know what said women did to said man, just because the women are going to be louder about it and the men aren't as likely to be like, I'm going to make a breakup album and you're going to get to know my side of the story.
I think it's more how men and women articulate emotions differently.
Yeah, you're so right, because we're just expressing and connecting and like finding community.
Like kind of like what I was saying, like women are, there is an expectation that a woman needs to know how they're feeling and how to articulate what they're feeling, because we're just,
lantern down.
Because we're just such like sensitive people, and we need that. That's a tool that we need to grow in, and men aren't. And so they need to learn how to not talk about their feelings and not articulate themselves. And I think
that is so true. That's like kind of how it is from,
it's how it is.
Like how most families do it,
especially in something like Love Island, where you're putting women and men under a microscope, and a lot of the times it's a man's first time being in, like, we're, again, not to bring up Love Island because I know we're like going to be way behind, but in this season there's a guy named Seth in the beginning of the season who is like really down bad for this girl, and she ends up picking someone up.
I'm doing like a roster in my brain.
But Sean is really down bad for this girl, and this girl ends up kind of blindsiding him and choosing another guy. And in this process, like they come back into the villa in this new pairing and are making out in front of him.
Which was such a mean thing to do.
The producers put her up to it. Like it wasn't like, it wasn't, it's part of the game, I guess. But he got on camera and I thought it was so interesting because he's like, I've never been put in a position where I've had to face these kinds of feelings because it like, first of all, like Love Island is such like an exaggerated, you know, it's exaggerated. Like there's, that would never naturally happen in the wild or in the right. real world. But I do think it was interesting watching him have to like cope and do backflips to try and like wrap his head around something. Whereas the girls in the room are much more adaptable, or I should say used to these high intensity, like highly emotional, like
right regulation things.
And I think for you, like I've always appreciated how you've reflected on, I don't like how this went when I was public with my relationship and I wouldn't do that again. And I think it has less to do with you as a woman and more to do with having a platform and being in the position of power, i.e. having a platform where people get to hear you far and wide.
Right.
And so I think bringing it all the way home, I do think it's important to hold others accountable and yourself accountable. And if you have friends who are gassing you up when you know in your heart you're not doing the right thing, take inventory on whether or not those friendships are healthy, because sometimes in order to become the best versions of ourselves, it's not pretty. Growth is never pretty. Growth and being held accountable is never fun, but it's what leads to you becoming a better version of yourself.
Regardless of gender.
Regardless of gender.
You know, I've been watching Pretty Little Liars again, which has been my new background editing show.
I want to get into that.
Oh, it's nuts. It is cuckoo bananas.
Have you ever seen Vampire Diaries?
I have. But I was definitely more on the Pretty Little Liars train when I was young. But and there was like Teen Wolf people, Vampire yeah. Diaries, and Pretty Little Liars people. Regardless, there was a bar that I wrote down in my notes. I don't even remember who said it or in the context in which they were talking about it. But they had like done something that they regretted. And then they were like trying to do this apology. And the person that they're apologizing to looks at them and says, you know what? Nobody has ever made a mistake on purpose. And that's why it's a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think if yeah. people are willing to own up to the fact that they made a mistake, just know that it wasn't on purpose. Most of the time it's not, because you don't realize it's a mistake until the damage is already done.
Well, the only thing you can do in that circumstance, you can't go back in time, but you can take accountability.
Yeah. Concurred.
Concurred.
Support for today's episode comes from Square, the business platform that helps sellers become neighborhood favorites. Whether you're gearing up for a busy season or just trying to keep up with every demand, Square keeps your businesses running smoothly. It brings payments, POS, online order, inventory, and staff all into one place so you can focus on your customers, not your to-do list. We actually went to our favorite coffee shop across the street from the office this morning and noticed that they were using Square for their payments. Square is built to support all kinds of businesses, whether they're just starting out or growing from one location to many. Their hardware and software are designed to be incredibly easy to use, so your day-to-day operations feel simpler. Plus, they offer transparent pricing with no hidden fees or locked-in contracts, so you can cancel or switch anytime. Square helps you run your business more smoothly, bringing payments, operations, and insights together in one place so you're ready for whatever's next. Right now, listeners can get up to $200 off Square hardware when you sign up at square.com/go/hearmeout. That's square.com/go/hearmeout. Get started with Square and build a setup that works the way you do.
This is a specific Brooke question.
What?
Brooke from Kyla. How were you sure about your husband being the one? This generation of men sucks. All caps, sad face.
And I'm listening. I'm taking notes too.
You know, my mom and dad, they met and got engaged within 6 weeks of knowing each other. And
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm, it was back in the 90s. And my mom said, and they met and got engaged within 6 weeks of knowing each other, and then were met and married in under 7 months. Like,
they knew.
I grew up hearing this tale of there was nothing in her body that said no. There was nothing in her body or in her mind that said no. That's what my mom would always say. And I used to be like, you're nuts. You're absolutely nuts. There is just no way. And she was also 27. My dad was like 29 at the time. So they were a little older. And they were in their late 20s when this happened. So they had a lot of life experience under their belt. So I think that kind of that context is important. It wasn't like they were like 21, like, let's go do this. Like, they had lived enough and done enough to know what they were looking for and what they weren't looking for. But my mom used to always be like, you know, nothing in her said no. And I've talked about it before in the pod, but I was always a relationship girl. My first relationship was like almost 5 years. The relationship after that, I got in right after that one. That first one ended. And I was in that one for about like a year and a half, or a little over a year, I should say. And when I got out of that second relationship, that in hindsight was just a Band-Aid over a deeper wound that I was covering up from my first relationship that kind of did a number on me and my self-esteem. When I was single, I had to do a lot of growing and a lot of exploring because I had never known myself. Like, I literally started, like, I was in a relationship from 18 to 23, pretty much, almost 24.
A whole college experience.
Or really 18 to 24, because that's when the second relationship ended. So, like, I literally didn't know myself when I was single. And being single was really an insightful time for me because I was able to reflect on and realize there are just so many different types of guys out there and so many different types of people. And I kind of found where I fit in the bigger scheme and the bigger puzzle.
Which pond you swim in.
Yes. And I grew a lot. And when I met my husband, it was in a nightclub. I was happily single. I was happily in my party era living in Dallas. I had my other friend who we were just this duo and we were going out like 3 times a week. No one was having more fun than me and my friend. We were just,
we're eating the town alive.
Oh my gosh. I was just having the best time. And then I wasn't. And there was, I remember a weekend that went by and I had this kind of like out of body experience. I'm looking around the club and my mom was very hesitant watching the whole party scene happen for me because she was like, I know who you are and I know that this isn't really what you want. And so she would always say to me like, are you having fun yet? Are you having fun yet? And I'd be like, yes, mom, of course I'm having fun. Like, look at me. Like, I'm like
Captain Fun over here. I'm having
so much fun. Are you kidding? And she would just say that and I would laugh or whatever. And I just remember being in the club one night and like looking around and I just heard her voice in my head, like, are you having fun yet? And I took an inventory. I'm like, I think my time of having fun is coming to an end. But I didn't like really kind of think much of it, I guess. But I just. Damn,
that is a bar to, are you having fun
yet? Are you having fun yet? And like, really, like, I think that really meant like, are you still fulfilled in this? Because there are times where like having fun and letting loose are so important, but I think it's just as important to be conscious of yourself and know when that time is coming to an end and when to end one chapter that was good for you to go into a new one. And so there was definitely like a transition happening kind of behind the scenes, I think. And so the night that I met my husband, he was in the club. I was in the club. It was kind of two people that really like didn't have business being there at the night that we were there. And we locked eyes at the bar. He was like ordering a drink and I was like by myself because I had like ditched the group of people I was with and I was like 4 people back. And he was at the bar and he turned his head this way and I turned my head this way and we locked eyes. And he's super tall, so like he kind of stood out. And we locked eyes and within like a millisecond, he was reaching over like 3 people, taking my hand and pulling me to him at the bar.
Which, knowing him now, is so not like
him. It's not like him even a little bit. Even a little.
Like, he's not like a bar hopper. No, like, come here, lady. No. Let me buy you a drink.
He's very reserved as well. Yes. So knowing like
whatever, that would make me flutter.
Oh my gosh. Whenever I think about it, I'm like. And he reached over and pulled me to him. And I just remember looking up at him and he's like, what are you drinking? And I was like, tequila. And he bought me a shot.
Everything else won't be of her an allergic reaction. Yes. Take notes.
And we had a shot and we like, I shook his hand and he was like, that is like the firmest handshake ever. And I'm like, yeah, like my dad like taught us well, like was something stupid. And we ended up going to the side of the club. And when I tell you it turned into a Starbucks, when I tell you it turned into a coffee shop, I am not kidding you.
It's this, like that sound effect when it's all like crumbling and then it goes silent. It's like,
no, it was as if the room, everyone in the room disappeared. And that sounds so corny, but I'm not joking. Him and I stood in the corner of this club just talking, like talking about where we wanted to travel, talking about what he did for work. And he was in the Air Force, but he was getting out of the Air Force. And I ended up meeting him the first weekend he was back from being in the military, because he's from Texas originally. It was his first weekend back. And I was the first girl that he met. And from that moment on, I just remember feeling this peace. And there wasn't, you know, I think people, I felt this peace. And then, you know, you meet a guy in the club and you're like, okay, it's a guy in a club. And he lived 2 hours away. And so when he had texted me, I actually ignored his first text and he actually double texted me like a day later. And he's like, hey, I really want to take you out to dinner. And I was like, well, I leave for a trip on Saturday, but you can take me on Friday. And so he drove 2 hours to take me to dinner. And that was it, just to take me to dinner. And I remember getting in his car and I could like feel him. Like I couldn't, he hadn't said anything yet, but I got into his car because he picked me up in my apartment. And without even looking at him, I pulled out my phone and I texted my mom and said, mother, I think I just met my husband, like straight up. And I don't even remember really even why I did it. It was just this feeling. And that dinner.
It was your guardian angels.
It just, it was this. And I will say, the feeling I got with Jacob the minute I met him was this unbelievable sense of peace and calm. And it was as if all the noise in my head that had been there my entire life finally turned off. Oh, it makes me like emotional talking about
it. I'm like, whoa.
It literally makes me like kind of teary-eyed. But like, I didn't realize how stressed out I was about everything in my life until I was with someone that made that all go away. And throughout the early weeks of us dating and early months of us dating, we knew so fast that we were going to get married, but it was kind of this unspoken thing. And like 3 weeks into us kind of like seeing each other, it was his birthday and he took me on a trip for his birthday, which was insane. And he's a little older
masculine.
Yeah, he's a little older too. And like, I hadn't really been with like a man before. Like the guys that I dated were like, just not like that. They weren't, this like
didn't feel like they were courting you like that in any way.
Immature, I think, is a good way to put it. But he was so mature, and he took me on a trip for his birthday, and we went to Austin.
Just a hop, skip.
We're driving, and I'm just giddy, like it just, but not in an anxious way, like
in a kicking your feet like way.
Like the world looked a little brighter. Like I just can't describe it in any other way. Like everything felt more in focus for me. And the first night we're on this trip, we go to this speakeasy and we'd had a couple drinks, and like, he just, every time I looked at him, I was just like in awe of him. Like I had heart eyes, like just, oh my gosh. And Jacob's not a very, I would say he's more of a logical person. I would say I'm the more emotional of the two of us. He's not like a wear his heart on his sleeve kind of guy. Just really not his vibe. And I remember he's sitting across from me at the speakeasy and we're kind of just talking about something else. And he kind of stops talking and he sits back in his chair and he looks at me dead in the eyes and goes, Brooke, I want to take care of you for the rest of your life. And like, I want to take care of you in every way. And I want to give you the world. And I have had other guys say corny to me in the past. And I have had other guys promise me the universe. And everything in me knew they were effing lying. And they could say all the words and they could do whatever they could do backflips. And I knew that they either weren't capable or weren't going to. And when Jacob said that to me, again, the world went quiet. And all I said back was, I believe you. And it was in that moment at that speakeasy, 4 weeks into knowing this man, that I knew I was going to marry him. And I knew that my life was going to be significantly better as his wife than it could possibly be if I was by myself or with another person. And what I will say after meeting Jacob is that there has not been one day since the night I met him in that club that that man has made me feel anxious, has given me butterflies, has given me any reason to feel insecure. We have never played a single game with one another. And he took me so seriously from the night that he met me and all the days thereafter. He took me seriously. He took my heart seriously. He took my mind seriously. And he took our future seriously. And I think it is such a misconception that we are taught as women from a very young age that you're supposed to look for the guy that gives you butterflies. And you're supposed to look for the guy that makes you feel like you're like every day is an adventure. And it's like, it's this, no. As a girl who has developed anxiety at a later age, butterflies equals anxiety. Look for the guy that literally makes all the noise stops. And look for the guy that when you are with them, you enter this state of being where it's like your nervous system finally relaxes. And I have been around men who have given me butterflies. I have been around the guys who you know are bad news and you know are bad. Like you, those guys are so addictive because your body's in this fight or flight and it's like you get addicted to this adrenaline. And what I will say is I knew that Jacob was the one for me when my attraction to him and my feelings for him weren't rooted in that like chaos. It was rooted in the opposite and it was just this absolute peace. And that is my long-winded answer.
Damn. I don't know what any of us are supposed to do to follow that.
No, sorry for my...
That was enlightening. That should be like a TED Talk.
I don't know about that.
TED Talks are like, can we clip that? Can we have that? Can you AI generate out the hat?
I think too, though, like,
so sweet.
I really love that man. And like, honestly, I feel like with this podcast, y'all met me right in my honeymoon era of right after I got married. And so you didn't know me in my single era. You didn't know me with my ex-boyfriends. I have been through the effing ringer, you guys. I am not one of those people that like figured it out the first try and I'm just so good at dating and I'm so good at... No, I learned all of this through trial by fire. I have been through the effing flames and have walked out the other side. I am not one of those people that's like... Yeah, like, I just hope you get lucky. No, this all did not happen by accident. This happened through, oh my God, you guys, years and years and years of stubbing my toe over and over again.
You know what's funny is I never saw you in your single Dallas era.
Thank God.
I never got to see it.
You saw glimpses of it, though, because Morgan and I went on a girls' trip right after I ended my first relationship. Right during COVID and then before I got into my second relationship, which was like only a few months after
that. Yeah, the gap. I saw you in the first gap.
And that was arguably one of my worst moments because I was spiraling and didn't even know it. Like I just was like let out of this cage that I had been in for 5 years and like didn't even know I was free falling until I hit the ground and you met me mid free fall.
You know what? And I was flying too. I had no business doing anything of logic either.
We had a good time.
That was a great answer.
Thanks.
Snaps and claps for you. That was poetic.
Thanks for listening to me, you guys. I
think that the people will appreciate to hear that because I think you're right. People, and unfortunately, not to bring it back to TV again, no, but even like The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. We watch all of these toxic relationships that these people are just so addicted to because they're like, if I feel this strongly, if I feel this much passion, this must be my person. Like, I will never feel as deeply as anyone as I do for this person, but it's not love and stability. It's like the addiction to the toxic cycle and the unpredictability and the, does he love me today like he loved me yesterday? And it's a game. It's a big fat game.
It's a dopamine hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's this cat and mouse thing where you get addicted to being chased and you get addicted to this, like, when you're in a conflict, your dopamine receptors are firing on all cylinders because it's mm-hmm. like this, it's this high, it's like this high intensity thing. And you think, cause also like TV and media has trained us to think that you want the guy where he's fighting for you. And there's this constant, you know, need for this cat and mouse, and that's what you think.
Because you get in a screaming argument and then he's gonna throw rocks at your window with the boombox.
And I have been in those situations, and I trust and believe it was fun for a couple weeks, but there is a burnout that happens and there is a disconnect that's there. And so I also think there is a difference, and I have said this to my siblings and I will say it to my other siblings. You guys are all my siblings
the
now.
The parasocial siblings were
congratulations,
here.
I'm all your older sister.
The campers.
I'm the older sister you did not ask for. But I've said this to my siblings, and I'm sure to Morgan many times, but when you are looking, there are two scales. I'm going to say boyfriend, but this goes for any significant other, and I truly believe this. And what's my criteria? I don't know. I'm just a person, but this is my belief. Because this is something my mom told me, and I was like, you're lying. And then I was like, damn it, you weren't lying. Damn it, you were right per usual. When you are looking for a significant other, there is a boyfriend-girlfriend bucket and like good time bucket and like scale to guide them, to grade them off of. And when you are looking for a husband, wife, and or life partner, that is a different category.
Mm-hmm.
And there are men who make great boyfriends. I had one of those. He made a great boyfriend. Nothing but good things to say about that guy. Great person. He was a great boyfriend, but he did not check the list of things that I needed in a life partner. And sometimes it is the most difficult thing in the world, but sometimes walking away from the good boyfriend in order to find your life partner is the most difficult but important thing you will do. Because I walked away from my second relationship while still having feelings for that person and thinking I will never get over this. And now looking back, I'm like, man, if I had married him, there is no possible way I would have felt as content and as whatever. My life would not look the way that it does now because I was looking at Jacob through the lens of I'm looking for a life partner now, as opposed to I'm looking for a boyfriend to
a fun time,
have
a good
time with and like grow up with, because I think that's what relationships can really do for you. So that's, I think, like for a good time, look for the butterflies. But for like a steady, like the one guy, I would not recommend seeking out butterflies.
I can't give any advice in the matter whatsoever. But I do always think, you know, when I'm on my search and prowl, these are the people that you'll be with when your parents pass mm-hmm. away. Somebody said that to me once mm-hmm. upon a time, of be very cautious of the person you choose to be with you when you give birth, when your friends start to pass away, when your parents inevitably pass away, when all of the life tragedies happen, who do you want standing there? That's what I always think of.
No, it's true, because again, like, it's just a different, the grading is different, mm-hmm. right? Like a good boyfriend, it's like, who's going to take you on the best date and who's going to be the best in bed and who's going to be like,
and who's going to be the most fun?
Like, who's going to be so romantic and do that's one thing. But like, when you're looking for a life partner, life is not easy. It's not. It's complicated and it's messy and exhausting. Like, who's going to carry that with you?
Yeah, because you don't want to go home, or at least me, I don't want to go home from a day of chaos to more chaos.
To more chaos.
I want to go home from a day of chaos to peace and serenity.
And also, like, it's not to say that, like I'm sure Jacob and I will have bumps in the road. I'm sure, like, that's the nature of it. But my God, I know I'm going to have a foundation of stability for when things get rocky, we can go back to neutral. I can't imagine if I picked the guy that I was constantly in this state of turmoil with, and then things got really complicated. It's like chaos on top of chaos.
I've gotten, as a viewer, as an observer to all of my friends who have gotten married, because I would say half of my bucket is people who are married and half of my bucket is people who are not married. I have had a few people in my bucket that have used marriage as a band-aid. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, well, if we get married, it's all I want. Everything will be better. And that is also a scary territory, because I think I've seen a lot of people, and I can't speak for myself, but I've seen a lot of people go into marriage thinking, well, if we're married, then I'm going to feel safe. And if we're married, I'm going to feel secure. And I'm going to feel that, like, that's the thing I need to feel confident that this person isn't going to leave me. This person is going to be here for me. And then it makes everything 10 times worse because you don't have a stable foundation. Like, you can't build a foundation on a rocky foundation. Or people think, oh, if we have a kid, that's going to fix everything. Mm-hmm. A baby and a marriage aren't going to fix anything. So I think you're right on the money, girl. You have to have a stable foundation and pick who you want your bumps in the road to be bumpy with.
Yeah. Cause I trust and believe the earth will shake. The earth will shake.
In this house, all the floors be shaking, honey.
The earth will shake. And you just want to know that you are standing on firm foundation.
Oh my gosh, Brooke, I loved your TED Talk. I wrote so many mental things down in my head.
You did? Like, yes. What?
Well, we already heard all of them, so I will tell you later. But okay. Just so many mental things. Well, so many mental notes. I'm sure we were all taking mental notes.
Sorry, that was really long-winded.
No, I thought that was amazing. TED Talk's gonna be like, send her our way. Can we steal that girl? Can we take that blonde girl and put her in the relationship TED Talk stage?
I'm gonna say, sorry, I keep my talents in the tent. I keep my talents in the tent with my bestie.
We only match. Can we match on the TED Talk stage? And I'll just stand there and be like, cheese.
Cheese.
I'll take the photo. I'll bring
What's
the Alex Earl light.
Girl.
Okay. Should we do a funny one?
Yes.
Okay, this is a rapid fire. These are ones that are hot takes, if you will. Do you keep your syrup in the fridge or in the pantry?
I'm really glad you asked this. I keep mine in the fridge. I do, because I love cold syrup with cold butter on a hot pancake.
Wait, but isn't it too thick and sticky to get it out?
No.
Summer always makes me rethink what I'm reaching for every day. Lighter fabrics, better materials, pieces that just feel good the moment you put them on and look effortless. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on high quality essentials. Think breathable linen, soft, organic cotton, washable silk, but without the luxury markup. It's that rare balance where everything feels elevated, but still easy. Quince has beautiful everyday pieces like 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops with the style starting at $32. Their denim is soft and easy to wear, and their organic cotton sweaters are perfect for layering on cool summer nights. Literally everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're paying for quality, not the brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has really become a destination for elevated essentials across home, kitchen, bedding, and beyond, making it easy to bring a more premium feel into everyday life. You all know I have ranted forever about never being able to find jeans that are long enough for my daddy long legs. And on Quince, I was able to find jeans with a 33-inch inseam. No more flood warnings over here, okay? Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/hearmeout for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hearmeout for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/hearmeout, now available in Canada too. Okay, now let me ask you this.
Tell me.
Are you a butter in the fridge or on the counter?
Butter in the fridge.
I'm a butter in the fridge too, and it kind of freaks me out when people have butter on the counter. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm a butter in the fridge, and if you like butter in the fridge on a pancake or a waffle, you're gonna really be into the... Some people heat up their syrup. I personally don't like that.
I don't think... I've always been a room temperature gal, but maybe you're gonna inspire me and I'm gonna stick that sucker in the fridge. I have been really into pancakes lately, which I don't know where that came from. I've been craving pancakes like no other. Premier Protein makes pancakes now. Frozen pancakes.
Oh, don't touch
that. And you stick those suckers in the microwave for 80 seconds, and they are one of the most unbelievable things that I could eat in the morning. They're so damn good. It's one of those things that you look at in the freezer section and you kind of know what it already tastes like. You would be surprised. You would be so surprised. They're so damn good.
Were you like an Eggo waffle girl?
Oh.
I was like, we should have those for dinner.
Oh. I my mom would get the Costco box of Eggo waffles, and I wanted to fill every square perfectly with the same amount of butter. And then I would do syrup. And then on a special weekend night, my mom would let me put powdered sugar.
We should have that for dinner tonight.
I love Eggo waffles, bro. I'm like 11 from Stranger Things. Feed me all of the Eggo waffles. Gimme. You also know I love frozen food and fast food. So next burning hot question that the people are dying to know. Okay. For the zoo girl herself.
Another one for me.
If you could be an animal for a day, which one would you choose and why?
You know, I've thought long and hard about this. I really have. I would be a jaguar in the Amazon rainforest.
Oh.
Because they are the apex predator. And I think it would be really cool to be at the top of the food chain and have my way with anything that I want.
You know, if you were at the top of the food chain, that would eliminate my fear of being in the presence of an apex predator.
Right.
So maybe you're onto something. We did talk about yesterday when we were at the zoo, I would love to be a bear in one of my next lives.
Yeah, you did say
that. Because not only are you cute and fluffy and everything's afraid of you and people don't want to be around you, which would be amazing, you get to hibernate for half the year. And I would love that. My aura rings score would be out of this world. No, I'm bringing my aura ring to the next life that. And I'm putting on my bear little bear paw for my hibernation.
I'm really into that.
I don't know which kind of bear. I don't know if I have a preference.
A polar bear.
Ooh, I don't want to swim in the cold water.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
I want to be in like the aspen forest.
Ooh, maybe a grizzly.
Yeah.
The grizzly's like the apex of the bears.
And I'm not going to be a threatening bear. Like, I'm not going to eat you or your family. I might dig through your trash when I'm hungry.
Oh, well then maybe you should be a sun bear.
Oh.
Because they're cutie and like not as dangerous.
Yeah, I don't want to be hunted. I won't hunt you. You don't bother me and I won't bother you. Yeah. And I just want to hibernate, honestly. I don't know what this says about my mental state, but the thought of being able to go to sleep for like 3 months would, if there was an option to do that now, I totally would.
Like through the winter, like hibernate in the winter?
100%. No questions asked. Put me to sleep, like knock me out after Christmas. I don't care about New Year's. January, February, wake me up at the end of March.
You want to know what's sick about me?
Oh.
I want to hibernate through the summer.
Oh.
I want to hibernate through the summer. Heat. I would like to hibernate personally through the months of June, July, August, wake up September, and go back to bed in June. I love the fall and winter.
Oh, but then we wouldn't get to see each other in our hibernations.
In the spring.
We both go into our hole. We're like, see you next spring, partner. Bye. And for our diarrhea diaries, this is a rogue one. Would you rather have to fart every 3.5 minutes or poop not solid once every hour?
So you know how this has like become an ongoing thing in our podcast?
Unintentionally? We talk
about like farting, like all this stuff.
My butthole being small.
I do think that we should name that segment of this podcast, It Happens.
She came up with this last night in our Giggle Fest and I almost peed my pants laughing. It happens
because it do be. What was the question? My God, I blacked out.
Would you rather have to fart every 3.5 minutes or poop not solid once every hour?
Once every hour? That sounds disruptive.
You wouldn't be able to do, you couldn't even watch a whole movie.
No.
And I love to go to the AMC.
First option, because that sounds like literally life altering.
Yeah, and you can kind of position yourself in a way where it's like silent but deadly.
This podcast has range. And for those who says that it doesn't, you're lying. Look at us now, because guess what I'm about to do? Whip out a scary story.
You're getting all 3-for-1 today,
you
baby.
You never
love,
know.
Love, relationship, heartbreak, farts, and the spooks. You... Where else can you go on YouTube.com and get all of those within the same hour list and let me know?
I know that's right.
In a tent.
In a tent
with buddies.
Mascots. You never know what to expect in this podcast, and I love that. Okay, people. We're going back to one of my favorites, as we know, modern mystery. I love a modern mystery. It's a page on Facebook that I follow that gives like little bite-sized modern mysteries, and it's really fun. The title of this modern mystery is The Hikers Who Were Found Frozen in Positions No One Could Explain.
You guys already know how I feel about hiking.
In February 1959, 9 experienced hikers set up camp on a remote slope in the Ural Mountains. They were trained, prepared, and familiar with extreme winter conditions, which is why what happened next has never made sense. Sometime during the night, something caused all of them to cut their way out of their tent from the inside. They did not use the entrance. They tore through the fabric and ran out into the freezing dark, leaving behind their boots, coats, and essential gear. When search teams arrived weeks later, the scene was deeply unsettling. Footprints showed that the group left calmly at first, not running, but walking away from the tent barefoot in sub-zero temperatures. Then the trail split and things became harder to follow. The bodies were found scattered across the landscape. Some were near a tree as if they had tried to start a fire. Others were deeper in the forest, partially buried under snow. A few had injuries that did not match any known struggle, including severe internal trauma without visible external wounds. One of the hikers was missing her tongue. Another had traces of radiation on their clothing. There were no clear signs of an attack, no evidence of another group, and no natural explanation that accounted for every detail. Investigations concluded with vague explanations, but none of them fully explained why 9 experienced people who would abandon safety and run into the night. Decades later, the incident still raises the same questions. What could have scared them enough to leave everything behind, knowing it would likely cost them their lives? And this is a photo. Oh? I'm thinking alien. I'm personally thinking alien.
It has to be because
with the radiation.
Who else would be out there?
Well,
it'd have to be another experienced group of hikers.
The only other thing is I could think they were doing like maybe like psychedelics or something in the tent that would cause them to have this like hallucination. But mass hallucinations are like very, very rare. So I wouldn't say that. I would say my bet is alien.
You know, I think you're right because it would, if I was an alien and if I was in charge of things, you're looking at a remote area.
If you were the president of the aliens.
If I was the president of the aliens, which I'm not, don't get your panties in a wad. I have no association with the aliens. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard to believe.
ETs. Oh my God, my hair.
You're looking at a remote area
right. Where
it's going to be hard for people. Mm-hmm. In a more, like, you couldn't go to like a city. You couldn't mm-hmm. go to Dallas and be like, let's just pick a random person.
Yeah.
You're in a remote area. You're alone. You don't have a quick escape route, right? Like, it's not like you can get in your SUV and drive on out of there. Number one. Number two, it's cold. Mm-hmm. So the chances of somebody knowing that these people went missing, it's going to take a few days for them to, one, know that they're missing because I'm assuming that these people who go hiking a lot, their family knows if they don't right. hear from them for a couple of days, it's yeah. nothing abnormal. They're just in a place with no service.
And this was the 1959 too.
And yeah, I guess because when we go to space, right? Like when the American, or not even the American, like the people from Earth,
humans.
When the people of Earth, humans, are going to space, we're trying to explore, do research, find out what's out there. What is stopping an alien from coming in and saying, what are those things walking around? Let's do a little research on them. Let's do a little radiation. Let's get a little testing done. Let's take a tongue. What are those tongues?
Let's take a tongue. Speaking of tongues, giraffes, yeah, I think you're so crazy right. tongues. Can I tell you one of the creepiest things? So again, deep dive that I went down one time that has really altered my brain chemistry. I have spoken about it before, but I'm really interested in like extreme sports and tragedies that have happened in extreme sports, kind of like the free solo guy, like people with extreme natural abilities and athletic abilities doing extreme things such as like free soloing or there's like a guy that like skateboarded the side of a building one time and I was like, people just be doing that? Red Bull has a bunch of crazy videos about people doing crazy stunts. However, there was this one guy who got me introduced to the world of people who climb Mount Everest. And do you know much about Mount Everest and like people who climb it?
I know that not a lot of them come back.
So that's the craziest part, is in order to climb Mount Everest, the conditions are so hostile to humans that people die on the mountain. They die while summiting. But the conditions are so harsh that the bodies are left there. When people are summiting the mountain, you cross and you pass frozen bodies of people who have been there forever. Like, not forever, but for decades, because the bodies become like you can't get to them. And then the conditions are so cold that the bodies are preserved. So there's mummies up the side of Mount Everest. And if you ever want to go into a deep dive, maybe I'll do a video on the deep dive of the Mount Everest mummies. But it is so fascinating and devastating and just crazy to think that people doing extreme sports like this can like wind up there and never leave.
At some point, so many people had to have died that you're kind of just hiking on human remains, right?
Or do they
clear them out?
No.
Push them to the side?
It takes a very specific person to be athletic and ambitious enough to do this, the whole summit. So I wouldn't say there's a lot of mummies, but like there's one, not forgive me, I don't remember the name of it, but there's a mummy up there that has become a landmark. So you know you're like halfway to the top or like a third of the way to the top because you're passing this guy who passed away there that the body has just been stuck there. So it's literally like a landmark is this man who passed away.
Oh, crazy. That is so eerie. I would see one of those and I would turn around.
I just have no desire to push myself to that extent. The other one that comes to mind too is people who go like spelunking in the Amazon rainforest thinking that they're big and bad and that thing swallows you. You guys, there is no scarier place on earth than the Amazon rainforest. I could go on and on. That place is, sorry, I digress.
You wouldn't believe when I was in Hawaii, the amount of people that think that they can dive off big bad cliffs and that the ocean will not suck them away. The people that don't even know what's underneath these ginormous 100, 200 feet cliffs. And there's these frat boys and they're like, I'm going to jump off the side of the cliff because there's an ocean under me and I'm so big and bad. Of course I can take the ocean. Guess what? They end up on the news the next day. RIP.
Never like, seen what? Twilight, New Moon.
I've never been a risk like that person. I don't know if I get it. Like, I think it's the adrenaline and then the satisfaction when you complete something like that, that you can do things that other people can't do. I don't have that in me personally. What freaks me out?
I'm a scaredy cat.
Cirque. All the circus girls. How the hell do you figure out that you can bend that way, number one, that you can flip 40 feet in the air fearlessly and trust that someone's going to catch you on the other side? I do not understand in any way, shape, or form how people get there.
That dream died when I did my first trust fall in elementary school and someone dropped me.
That dream died for me when I realized I can't do a chin stand like Abby Lee Miller's girls.
Damn it.
Because think how high risk that is. You make one mistake in front of everyone in a Vegas show, you're done for. The girl that spins with her bun.
I was at a Cirque du Soleil show. It was I forget the name of it. It's one of the Cirque du Soleil shows. It's still on right now. But one of the main tricks is there's like this metal ball that the two guys like ride their motorcycles around and around.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was at a show where one of the guys like fell. Like he didn't get enough momentum and his bike went like horizontal and hit the ground. And he was okay. But when I tell you the room, like, the gasp everyone collectively gasped was unbelievable. And I just remember being like, like, I almost watched someone die. Like, what the fuck?
After we went to the, remember when we went to the circus that last was the year?
Most fun, do I remember the most fun day of my life? Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
It was so fun. After you left that trip, I did a YouTube search of Cirque du Soleil accidents.
Yeah.
That is not a search that you want to make. No. I watched one and it haunted me all night long. What just happened? Thinking one of the girls was doing like swinging from the bars and then getting caught the on the other end when they catch your feet. Yeah. Oh, no. And her feet didn't get caught. And it was, I don't even know what you would do in that scenario.
They don't have nets.
They don't have nets. They don't have mats.
She hit the floor.
She hits the floor and the video cuts.
Shut up.
And then I looked it up and she is okay. But what do you mean? Do they pay these people enough for what they're doing? I can, without even knowing how much they get paid, I can tell you they're not getting paid enough.
They deserve a raise.
They deserve a double. A bonus, a pension, if you will. And I hope they provide health insurance because, oh my God. Campers, rise up. We're going to end on one more burning question now that the people have had more time. And if you're not following our Instagram, follow our Instagram. And you can also email us anytime you please. Can't think of the email off the top of my head, but I'll link it right here. I have so many damn email addresses, bro. Every time I go to enter a discount code and I can't do a discount code because I've already used my email once, I just make another one.
She's so funny, bro.
How do you find your spark again after being in a depressive funk for a while?
Ugh.
I'm going to say I don't always know that I've been in a depressive funk until I start to get out of it. It kind of is like a cloudy days for me. I will know that I'm in it. Here's my signs. If I start sitting on the couch all day, sign number one, something's not right here. If I start ordering Dairy Queen alone multiple days in a row, not a good sign. If I start talking on the phone or I start thinking like, what am I looking forward to? And then I'm like, nothing at all. That's a sign. But sometimes I don't realize that I was in it until I'm out of it. Yeah. And then I don't know. I think it's, you would think it would be some big grand thing. Like you have to go on a trip or you have to get a whole new wardrobe. And I think it's little things like realizing, oh my gosh, like now that I'm having more energy again, right? Because even as women, we go through so many hormonal waves throughout the month. For me, if I can like wake up, take a good, long, deep, everything shower and get ready in a day, that's already step number one for me. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great because there is a science. Our moms always told us when we were growing up, like how you look is how you do, like do or look good, feel good. Or maybe my mom told me that because I wanted to wear sweatpants to school every day. But
mine was dress for the test.
Dress for the test. Yes. And there is some truth to that because, you know, once you're fully showered and you have your makeup on, then you're like, oh my gosh, anything that comes my way today, I can do it. I love to go on little outside walks. Mm-hmm. I can't go on outside walks with Brooke because she walks so damn fast. And I am a slow walker. I'm a 3 mile per hour maxer. It is so funny, you guys. But I like to put my headphones on. I like to listen to a little audiobook and I like to go for a walk and I like to look at my surroundings and I have a checklist of things that I'll say in my head like, oh my gosh, I opened my eyes today and everything else is a bonus. And when I really put that thought into my head of everything I get to do today is a bonus and the fact that I opened my eyes is enough for me, because sometimes it just takes rewiring your thoughts a little bit in a way of like, oh, this thing that I get to do today is really cool. Or, oh my gosh, for me, a big one is I get tired a lot. I get burnt out feeling a lot. I get exhausted and stressed and just like, oh my gosh, I have so much on my plate. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish all these things that I have to do. And a thought for me that really helps is how like blessed and privileged how blessed and privileged am I that I love what's making me tired. Yeah. I love what's making me stressed. I love what's making me anxious, which not everybody has the same feeling about what they get to do for a living. But I think my thing is less of a big action, like shopping or what I've been trying at least, like less of a, I need to go do something bigger. I need to buy something bigger. I need to have this big life-altering moment. It's more little thoughts throughout the day, checking in on what I'm thinking and then altering those thoughts to be a positive thing that makes my brain feel good.
I think that's such a good, because again, it's like those big, big, big gestures. It's just, you're just giving yourself a dopamine hit and there's going to be a come down. I think mine is, I notice I'm depressed when I get apathetic to everything. Because I'm one of those people that knows how I feel and have a feeling and opinion on everything going on around me. And I've gotten better about sharing those opinions. I'm getting a lot better keeping them to myself most of the time. But when I start to feel apathetic where I don't care, like I don't care about this or I don't care about how this is making me feel, that's always an indicator that something's going on and that I'm not, that I'm avoiding something, which typically leads to like my depressive episodes, because I always care. I'm never a person that's, that my natural state is apathy. And so I think similar to Morgan's, the way I get out of mine are going heavily towards gratitude, even when it's the annoying thing to do, because sometimes the act of being grateful can, it can be difficult, because it, when nothing feels important and nothing feels good and nothing feels like it's enough, finding the little things that are, like waking up in the morning, taking your first breath, getting to spend time with a friend, like those things can feel irritating.
Right. You're like, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Which is so funny. You know, I know what you mean.
But I think that if you can work towards little steps towards gratitude are a really good way of getting out of a depressive episode, at least for me. And then the other one is doing things that I know I feel good about. So when I'm apathetic, I know I love hanging out with my friend. So I'm going to be like, hey, can we get together? Or like, I know I love going on a walk with Jacob. So I'll go, like, I do things, or to the zoo. I like do things that I know that I love, and it kind of gets my brain working again, where I'm like, oh wow, I don't feel nothing towards this. I don't feel neutral towards this. I feel great about this. And so to seek those out. But I also think too, to your point, as annoying as it is, hygiene and moving your body is such a good way to get your brain doing what you want it to do.
Taking a shower is the most underrated thing of all time.
It's so underrated.
Even at night, like last night we got back from the zoo, took a shower. You feel like a new person. You have a new light, it just feels, even if you're just doing a body shower, and even if you can't do anything other than stand in the water and let it drain down, there is something about like washing the day away that is so refreshing for the mind and the soul.
Even a baby step to that is just brushing your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like little things that you're doing for yourself to be good to yourself, over time, it'll snowball into bigger things that I think will get you out of it.
Yeah, and we go through so many waves. Sounds like a selfish thing to do, but I think when you check in with yourself and you realize that you're kind of going down that rabbit hole, pouring more into yourself and kind of reserving your energy for you versus being like, I can do it all. I can give to this person and I can help this person and I can be here for this person. I don't think there's anything wrong with pulling back what you can give to everybody else and make sure that you're watering your own flower pot first before you're spreading all of the water that you have on everyone else's flower pots.
Well, it's like you have to put your oxygen mask on before you can help others if the plane's going down. Like you are no help to others if you are not yourself taken care of, because then you're already on empty.
Oh, what I was gonna say too, my first thought that popped into mind, which I completely passed over, doing a little refresh on your space can really change, even if it's something small, right? It doesn't have to be some grand thing. You don't have to hire a contractor and rearrange your whole entire house. Even going to the effing dollar store and picking like a flower bundle or a fake plant that you like, or just something that can signify in your brain like, oh, it's a new season, holiday decor.
Decluttering.
Get rid of some of the useless stuff you have.
That part.
Go through a drawer and be like, oh my God, all of this stuff is taking up mental capacity in my brain. Like for me right now, every time I open my top drawer in my bathroom, I'm like, ugh. Yuck, I hate it in here. I need to clean this. Doing one, and you don't have to do a whole bathroom clean out. You can do one drawer at a time. Oh my gosh, this is expired. I don't need this. I don't use this. Yeah. I don't want this. I only have things in reaching distance that I need. It feels so good. Challenge yourself. Take one bag of clothes to a thrift store.
We gave you a challenge a couple weeks ago, and I loved seeing all the comments of the hard things that people did that they were putting
up. And how long it took them.
So the new challenge is organize one thing in your house, whether it's a kitchen drawer, whether it's your underwear,
a junk drawer,
and declutter one thing.
Your car middle console.
Oh. Mm.
Anything. But I think that's all we have for you guys today.
That's all we got.
How'd you feel? How are we feeling?
How are we feeling?
That was a roller coaster of emotions.
Campers, how are we feeling? Again, if you have complaints, you got to save it for the campfire. You got to save it for the end of summer because we can't hear it right now.
Call HR. We'll put a hotline below.
We'll put the hotline below. It will be the email. And if you want to hear more of our burning answers, where can they find us?
Oh, you can find us on the Tron, patreon.com/morganvlogs, where we put some sort of something out every week, or I put some sort of something out every week. It could be an extension of a vlog. It could be an unreleased vlog that I didn't make it to my channel. It could be us chit-chatting more in our tent. It could be us meandering around my basement and building a tent.
We have been known to just sit down and gab for another 40 minutes or so on the Tron, and there's a live drop.
It has happened.
And we talk to y'all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we love you all very much. Happy Friday. Have a good old weekend.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.